Take your Bibles tonight. We're going to start in Daniel chapter 3, verse 24. And we took a week off last week and had a Thanksgiving Bible study from Psalm 100. But just to remind you of where we are in the book of Daniel, Daniel and his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were carried captive away from their homes, away from their families, as Babylon destroyed Jerusalem, as they conquered the nation of Israel. They were put to the test. I mean, they were put into the king's court and required to eat the king's meat and drink the king's wine. They refused to do that because of what they'd been taught as far as Jewish dietary laws. And again, they asked the keeper of the students, so to speak, if they could have vegetables, pulse, and water. And he tested them, and they proved that to the keeper that that was better for them. At the end of their indoctrination, at the end of their training program, the Bible says that King Nebuchadnezzar found them 10 times better than anybody else, 10 times better than any of the wise men that he had. In chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream about a statue made out of different material. He asked his wise men to tell him what he had dreamt and the meaning of it. None of them could. He passed a death sentence on all his wise men. Daniel went to him and said, hey, if you give me time, I'll tell you what you dreamed and what it meant. He went home, got with his three friends, they prayed, and God revealed to Daniel the dream. And Daniel went back to the king and told him what he'd dream. It was a dream about the future, about the kingdoms of the world that was going to come. And so Daniel told him what he dreamed and what he meant. And Nebuchadnezzar, the Bible says, worshiped Daniel and said there's no God, that Daniel's God was a God of gods. And he promoted Daniel, made him ruler in Babylon, and at Daniel's request, he put Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in positions of authority as well in Babylon. In chapter 3, which we started a couple weeks ago, Nebuchadnezzar builds a statue. He commands everybody in his kingdom to worship it. He said, when you hear the music play, you bow down and worship this statue that I have built. Of course, we don't know where Daniel was, but he wasn't around. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to bow down and worship the statue. The penalty for not doing it was to be thrown into a fiery furnace. And some Chaldeans came and said to the king, hey, these three Hebrews that you put in positions of authority have not obeyed you. They have not bowed down and worshiped your statue. So the king called them to himself and said, is this true? And they said, yes, it is true. He said, well, maybe you misunderstood. I'm going to give you another chance. And they said, no, we didn't misunderstand. You don't need to give us another chance. We're not going to bow down and worship your statue. I mean, we're going to trust our God. Maybe he'll save us. Maybe he won't. But regardless of what, he has the power to save us if he wants. But if he chooses not to, we're still going to trust him. We're still going to be obedient to him. We're not going to bow down and worship your statue. Nebuchadnezzar was angry. He commanded to heat the furnace seven times hotter than it normally is. Got mighty men of his army. They bound these three young Hebrew men and threw them in the furnace. The furnace was so hot that it killed the soldiers that threw them in. So that's where we ended a couple weeks ago. We start in verse 24 of chapter 3 tonight, where the Bible says, then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. So for the third time in the book of Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar was astonished. The first time was when he examined the four Hebrew young men and found them 10 times better than any of his counselors. The second time was when Daniel told his dream. The third time that he was astonished by an act of God was what was happening before him. He could not believe what he was seeing. That word astonished means he marveled. He said, it was something that he saw that he could hardly believe. And so to make sure that he, you know, knew what he was seeing and understood what he was seeing, he asked his counselors, he said, hey, the officials that was there with him, hey, didn't we throw three men in the furnace? They said, yeah, you're right, king. We threw three in. Weren't they bound? Weren't they tied up? Yep, we tied them up before we threw them in. You're right, they were tied up. Wasn't the fire burning in the furnace when we threw them in? I mean, wasn't the flames hot? And they said, you're right again, king. I mean, the flames were hot. And so they said, true. Everything you said is true. Now then, verse 25. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Now, again, I don't know what kind of furnace it was. It must have been open, or it must have had a big door or a window or something in it, because Nebuchadnezzar could look inside the furnace. And he said, "Hey, you said we only threw three in. I see four men in there now. You said we tied them up. Well, they're all loose and walking in the middle of the flame." Now, again, it's amazing to me. The fire could burn the ropes off, but it didn't touch them at all. Don't tell me God's not in charge. And then he said, "If you told me the fire was burning, they should have been consumed immediately. And yet, as I look at them, I see no hurt on them at all." I mean, the soldiers were killed that just got close to the opening when they threw them in to the furnace. And yet, when I look at them, I see no harm to them at all. And here's the most amazing thing that he said. He said, the form of the fourth man in the furnace, is like the Son of God. Now, we believe it was the Son of God. Later Nebuchadnezzar is going to call Jesus an angel. He said, God has sent his angel down to protect these, but he was right when he said this. I believe it was the pre-incarnate appearance of Christ, that he was there in the furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, Nebuchadnezzar didn't have spiritual insight. He couldn't recognize Christ, but he could testify to the appearance of this fourth man in the furnace. Now, in the New Testament, when we read, for example, when Jesus was transfigured before James and John and Peter on the Mount of Transfiguration, the Bible says he was transformed. He appeared as a bright, pure, shining light that was brighter than the sun. That was just, you know, it blinded them as they looked at him. And I can't help but wonder, as Nebuchadnezzar looked into the furnace, is that what he saw? Did he see a bright, shining, pure, dazzling light in the middle of the flame that caused him to say, hey, the fourth is like the Son, has the form of the Son of God? You know, that verse in the New Testament that says, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. I mean, I look back at an event like this and say, if a heathen, wicked king like Nebuchadnezzar can see the Son of God in all his glory, one day the most wicked of the world are going to see him in his glory, and they're going to say the same thing. They're going to bow down to him. Now, no hurt. These three thrown into this fiery furnace, no hurt. It had to be a miracle. There's no other way you can explain it. You know, all sorts of people try to explain away the miracles of the Bible. You know, they say there's always a natural phenomenon that happens. So like when God parted the Red Sea, say, oh, there was a mighty wind that came and made a path and dried out the land, or the water was so shallow, you know, it didn't take much to part it. And I always argue that point. Well, then how did that shallow water drown all the army? But men try to, now, you can't explain this one away. There is no natural phenomena that would preserve the life of three young men in a furnace of fire. I mean, no way to explain it. It had to be a miracle of God. And again, I mentioned a couple weeks ago that this chapter pictures the tribulation. And in the tribulation, God is going to preserve the remnant of Israel from the destruction that's going to go on. It's also a wonderful message to us today that our God can take care of us. Doesn't matter if we're in the furnace or out of the furnace. It doesn't matter what kind of trials we're going through. The God that could protect these three young men in the fiery furnace can protect us in just as a miraculous way. And again, it was a miracle. You cannot explain this away by some natural phenomenon. This was an act of God, something that only God could do. And God hasn't changed. He can still do that to us today. John 16:33 says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. He'll go with us. He'll go with us in through the fire. He'll go with us through the water. I mean, we sing songs like that. He promises to never leave us or forsake us. Amen. What a good God that we have. Verse 26. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace. Now again, the flames must have cooled off a little bit, because the soldiers were killed when they got close enough to throw the three young men in. And here's Nebuchadnezzar going to the mouth of the furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. So he calls the three young men by name. He knows them. I mean, he knows them because Daniel had asked them to put them in positions of authority, so he has appointed them to positions of authority. He knew them because he had just talked to them and gave them a second chance to bow down to the statue. So he calls them by name, and he calls them the servants of the Most High God. Now, in chapter 2, he had called God the God of gods. Here in chapter 3, he says he's the Most High God. Nebuchadnezzar wasn't ready to say that he was the only God, but what he's saying is he's the best God of all the gods. And so he called these three young men by name, and he says, hey, come on out. Come on out of the furnace. Verse 27, and the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men, upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Now again, it wasn't just the king that was witnessing what was happening. He had this whole group of counselors, whole group of wise men, the princes, the governors, the captains, and the counselors. And here's what they saw. The fire had no power on their bodies. There was not one spot on their body burned. I don't even think there was a hot spot on their body. I think they were cool. I was going to say cool as cucumbers, but they were cool. I mean, I don't even think they weren't sweating. They did not feel the heat. Not one hair of their head was singed. Now, listen, God knows the number of our hairs. He knows the number of hairs that we have on our head. And so when he says not one hair was singed, we have a God that's capable of looking at every single one of them and say, hey, they're all okay. Every single one of them are okay. Their clothes were not affected. There were no burn spots in any of their clothes. They didn't even smell a fire. Now just stop and think about that. How many of you have ever sat around a campfire? Sit around a campfire, and you know when you get done sitting around a campfire, you go away from the campfire, what do you smell? You smell the campfire on yourself. Gets in your clothes, gets in your hair. I mean, but here were three guys that were not just sitting around a campfire, they were in the middle of the fire. And they didn't even smell a smoke. It's like they had not even been around the fire. And again, that just speaks to the protection that God is able to give us. Sometimes we go through trials, we get into certain situations. We've all been there at times where, you know, we don't see the light at the end of the tunnel. We know it's going to take a miracle of God. And then he brings us through it, and we look back on it. I've heard some of your testimonies. We've looked back on it. And you know, it was tough going through, but when we get through it, God's so good, it's like we never went through it. Never been in the fire, just like these guys. Didn't even smell the smoke. I mean, nothing was burned. Nothing was hurt. Not one hair singed. God protected them so much that, I mean, if somebody would have come up to them after and not known what had happened, well, how are you guys? What you been doing? I mean, because there was no sign that they had been in the furnace. Verse 28. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they may not serve nor worship any god except their own God. So here's Nebuchadnezzar. He begins to praise God. He begins to uplift God. He blesses God. That's what the word blessed means. He praises God. He extols God. Again, he says here, God must have sent his angel. Again, I believe it was Christ that was there. I believe it was right the first time when he said, the fourth man has the form of the Son of God. He delivered his servants that trusted in him. Now, remember what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said when Nebuchadnezzar said, hey, I'm going to give you a second chance. Bow down and worship the statue and you can avoid the furnace. And they said, we don't need a second chance. We're going to trust our God. He has the power to deliver us if he wants to. But if he doesn't, we're still going to trust him. What a wonderful faith. What a wonderful faith. That's a pattern for all of us. We face a trial. And all of us have done this. We face a trial. We ask for God to deliver us from that trial. We ask for God to spare us from going through what we know we're about to go through. And again, we all of us have been there at times. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could say, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, God, I know you have the power to keep me out of it. I ask you to. If you gave me my choice, I wouldn't go through it. But, if you choose not to keep me out of it, I'm still going to trust you. I'm just going to trust you. I'm going to lean on you. I'm going to trust you. That's what these men did. Nebuchadnezzar said, their God delivered them that trusted in him. He changed the king's word. The king was for them to be destroyed. The king's word was for them to be killed because they didn't bow down to the statue. And God said, nope, you can throw them in the furnace, but you're not going to kill them. You're not going to kill my servants. He yielded their bodies that they may not serve nor worship any god except their own God. That's what God wants from all of us. That's what he tells us in the first and second commandment, not to have any other gods before him and not to worship any other gods. That's what these three young men did. They said, we're not going to worship your God. We're not going to put that God before our God. And God rewarded their obedience. Verse 29, therefore I, Nebuchadnezzar, make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Now remember, Nebuchadnezzar ruled the world at that point. And so when he said every people, nation, and language, he was talking about all the people that he was ruler over. And here's what he said in his decree. Hey, you better not say anything amiss about the God of these three young men. If you do, I'm going to cut you in pieces and tear down your houses and turn them into garbage heaps. Remember, that was the same penalty that he told his wise men and his counselors. If you don't tell me what I dreamed and tell me what it means, I'm going to cut you in pieces and turn your houses into a dunghill. And so he said, anybody that speaks amiss, anybody that speaks amiss of the God of these three young men is going to face my wrath. I'm going to cut you in pieces and tear your houses down. Here's what I was thinking yesterday afternoon when I was studying a little bit. You know, I've heard some of you testify. You're in a public place and somebody uses the Lord's name in vain. And it gets under your skin. And you go up to them and you say something like this. I wish you wouldn't use my Savior's name in vain like you just did. I think that's a wonderful thing. I think that's what Nebuchadnezzar was saying. Don't talk about their God. Now, he had the power to, you know, say, if you do, I'm going to cut you in pieces and tear your houses down. We don't have that power. But if a wicked king could stand for God, don't you think we as his children should too? Don't you think we ought to say a word if somebody says something amiss about our God? That's what Nebuchadnezzar said. Don't say anything about this God. He said, there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. He says, there's nobody else that can, nobody else could have done this. No, I've never, and again, Babylon was a nation that worshiped many, many gods. I mean, the nations they conquered, sometimes they took their gods under their wing and worshiped them as well. And Nebuchadnezzar says, I know a lot of gods. There's no god I've ever seen do this before. No god has ever delivered in this manner before. No god. Now, again, so here's Nebuchadnezzar. He's had three encounters with God so far. He had an encounter when he examined these four young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel, and found them 10 times wiser than all his other counselors. He had an encounter with God then. He had an encounter with God when Daniel told him his dream and the meaning of it. He said, Daniel, your God's higher than any other God. And then here he has another encounter with God when God preserves these three young men. And so, but it wasn't personal yet. I mean, he recognized God's power. He recognized that God was above any other God that he knew. And so he became a defender of the God, don't say anything amiss. But he didn't become a believer in God. It wasn't personal yet. He'd been impressed by what he saw, but not impressed enough to trust that God. Now, all that's going to change in chapter 4, because it's going to become very personal for Nebuchadnezzar in the next chapter. Verse 30, then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Twice, these three young men had been under the penalty of death. They were under the penalty of death, and all the wise men were under penalty of death because they didn't tell the king what he dreamed and what it meant. Now they were under the penalty of death, and the death sentence was carried out when they were cast into the furnace. So twice they were delivered, and twice they've been promoted. Every time that they were delivered, you see, God always goes above and beyond. He not only delivers, he promotes. And so twice they've been promoted. And again, the message to us today is that Jesus is able to keep us in this world. Regardless of what we face, regardless of the trials that we go through, he's able to keep us. In Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. And I know that verse speaks mainly about salvation, but it also speaks about the preserving, protecting power that Christ has to keep us in this world. So we need to rejoice that we have that kind of God, we have that kind of Savior. All right, thank you for being here tonight. Men will be praying, ladies will be praying. Join them if you would. Men will be praying in the library, ladies back here. Let's stand together. We'll have a word of prayer and be dismissed.